Welcome. Who's here for the first time? Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's nice to have you with us. Who was here last week? Who was blessed last week? Well, bless God. I don't know if you figured this out yet, but we serve a supernatural God. And you know why that's so amazing? Because that means you don't just have to rely on natural means to conquer the problems that you have, to overcome the mountains that you have to climb, to deal with the opposition that is against you. You have the right to trust in a supernatural God. Now, maybe that doesn't mean a lot to you right now, but I want you to understand something. The Word of God gives us the following scripture. Ephesians chapter 6. Our warfare is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I'm going to repeat that. For our warfare is not against flesh and blood. Just elbow the person next to you. Don't do it very hard, they'll hit back. You just gently nudge. I saw you. You were trying to poke her eye out. That vindictive spirit is going to leave tonight. Our warfare is not against flesh and blood. Flesh and blood is something you can see. It's something you can touch, you can feel. Something that has a presence. But there is something out there that does not want your life to prosper, that does not want you to succeed, that does not want you to go forward in life, and the problem that you're sitting with is you can't see it. But even though you can't see it, let me tell you one thing, you can see its effect. There are some of you here, you can testify that it's been years and years and years that you've been stuck in a pit somewhere. That you've been fighting and fighting and trying all sorts of things to go forward. Maybe you've been stuck in your career. Maybe you've been stuck in your thinking. Maybe opportunities that you know should be yours, they just never seem to present themselves. Maybe the family has quoted you as the black sheep of the family. And you do everything in your power to try and show them that you're actually such a person, but no matter how hard you try, you always end up proving the opposite. Have you ever stopped to wonder if there might not be something supernatural working against you, bringing all of this to pass in your life? Well, if you've ever wondered that way, you are starting to wonder the way God wants you to wonder. Because the Word of God says, our warfare is not against flesh and blood. There is an invisible enemy out there that will do everything in his power to discourage you, to frustrate you, to irritate you, to get you to the point of hopelessness that you give up. I can't prove it to you, but I want to guarantee you, 99.9% of the people in this world that have given up on their hopes and given up on their dreams, which might as well be the destiny that God has for them, have done so simply because something put an enormous amount of pressure on them to do that. Something didn't want them to go forward. And the devil is an expert at putting pressure on us to make us, oh, but you know what? It's useless to try. I have a track record. It's never going to work. It's never going to come right for me. Nothing will ever work for me. Oh, but you know, my father was this way and my grandfather was that way. I have some good news for you. The Word of God says that you were fearfully and wonderfully made, which means that you are not your father and you are not your grandfather. Look at your father and say, praise God for that. Amen. You liked that one, didn't you? Satan likes to tell us that the weakness that is around us is by default my weakness. But that's not what the Word of God says. The Word of God says that I am unique. You are unique. Bless God that you are unique. Amen? Yes. We're unique. Our warfare is not against flesh and blood. I want you to listen to me carefully. A lot of people read this very wrong. A lot of people read this as, we do not wage war. Uh-uh. When you became a child of God, you entered the army of God. If you could see in the spirit, there are dog tags around your neck. Hello? You might not be interested in them, but the devil sees them. And the simple fact that you are wearing them means he does not like you. Now you're sitting there and you're thinking to yourself, man, but then people should have told me this stuff because I wouldn't have become a Christian if I knew this stuff. Well, that's like bite your nose to spite your face, because if you did not become a child of God, you had no chance to put the devil in his place. I want to ask a question here. How many of you that is here can testify to some extent that after you became a child of God, the fairy tale that people told you would happen of peace, joy, love, hope, etc., etc., did not manifest, but a lot of problems just came into your life? It's like a conspiracy theory, isn't it? So who's behind that? The Illuminati? Some weird secret sect or coven? The Freemasons? No, I don't think so. But there is something very real behind that. Look at your neighbor and say, he's called Satan. And can I tell you why this happens to us? Because while you're serving him, he's not too worried about you because you belong to him anyway. And in Afrikaans, we've got this wonderful way of putting things, jy krap nie waar dit nie juk nie. If it's not itching, don't scratch it, you know? So the devil knows he mustn't give you a hard time while you're serving him. He must just leave you. You're like that frog that jumped into the water that was on, it was on low. It's still going to get cooked, but he doesn't realize he's being cooked. You know, he's just, in time, he's just going to, ooh, I'm dead. What happened? But when you turn your back on him and you begin to serve God, he turns up the heat and you get burnt a lot quicker. But I've got some good news for you. And I want you to listen to this good news. You can actually do something about that. Because you are not weak. You are not pathetic. You are not defenseless. You are actually quite powerful. And the number one reason why the devil is giving you a hard time right now is because he understands what you failed to see about yourself. You are powerful. Not because of who you are, not because of your background, not because of the job that you do or the car that you drive. Not because of your IQ. Some of you say, bless God for that. But because of who lives inside of you. You see, here's the thing that the devil knows that some of us tend to forget. When you become a child of God, there is only one way to become a child of God. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, for all that have accepted Jesus Christ, God has given the right to be called children of God. You become a child of God. You become a Christian when Jesus comes into your life. And if there is one person in this world that gives the devil the heebie-jeebies, it's Jesus. Listen to me carefully. You say that name and the oak has a panic attack. Hello? You just mention him and the devil's like, what? Did I hear correct? No. Shh, don't say that name. There is power in the name of Jesus. Haven't you read that the scripture tells us that to Jesus was given the name above every name, and that at that name, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. Some of you are looking at me like, where do you get this stuff? Every knee will bow at the name of Jesus. Every tongue will confess at the name of Jesus, because there is power in his name. Now, if there is so much power in his name, how much power is there in him? I'll give you an example. Let's use President Mandela. If you walk into a place and you say, I represent President Mandela, people will look at you like, okay, interesting. Where's your credentials? Yeah, okay, all right, fine. But what if he walks in there hand in hand with you? They don't ask you nothing. It's just open, 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 open. All the doors. There you go. If the name is powerful, then the person is infinitely more powerful than the name. If Satan has to bow his knee before the simple name of Jesus, how much more will he have to bow his knee before Jesus Christ who lives in you? Come on, just look at your neighbor and say, this is very good stuff. I'm actually learning something tonight. So now I have to show you because some of you don't believe me. Don't worry, I'm going to show you. Come here for me, please. Yes. You need a lot of help. I know your husband. Or should I pray for your husband? Because, all right. Do you agree with me that there is power in the name of Jesus? Do you agree with me that God has to honor his word? Are you already hot? Listen, yeah, the only man in here that's allowed to think she's hot is her husband. The rest of you, you don't think nothing. Eh? You're fine. You're already hot. I want all of you to stretch out your hands. At the count of three, you're going to shout with me the name of Jesus. We'll see what happens to her. One, two, three. Jesus! Oops. What was that? At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. Now I want to ask you a question. How many devils are giving you a hard time right now? In your case, they all ran away because you're wearing green tonight. It's a private joke. Don't worry. How many devils giving you a hard time? You know, I have to share this with you. This is very funny. The first time I normally go to a church, I'm an evangelist, so I preach at a lot of different places. And the first time people invite me to come to their church, I'm a little bit different. You can see the way I'm dressed. You hear the way I talk. I'm a bit different. And I like to do things a very different way. But God loves me because I dare to be different. And I refuse to conform. And I want you to understand one thing about me. I refuse to be religious. When I go to a meeting, God is in charge. I don't work according to rules and I don't work according to regulations. And I don't give a hoot what your watch says. When God says it's time, it's time. And when God says it's not, it's not. Because I believe the wind has to blow where he wants to, not where I tell him to. Every time I try to tell him what to do, he disappears on me and then I look like an idiot. I don't like looking like an idiot. I don't know about you. So I rather just let him be in charge and I just follow, you know, like if he wants to do this, I do this. But anyway, we come to some church and we have to pray for people. Now, I don't want to be funny, but there's a lot of demons that go to church. I know I'm freaking some of you out now, but there's a lot of demons that go to church. There might be one sitting next to you right now. You know, this never ceases to amaze me how quickly husbands look at their wives and wives look at their husbands. I knew it. I'm actually quite blessed. Nobody looked at me. Well, praise you, God. Anyway. So then people start coming forward and we start praying for people. And every now and then we get a live one there. That's like somebody this is like a whole bunch of devils and they can't stand the heat. And these things pop off. And then there's like mass pandemonium, panic, stress. Who knows what it is, confusion. Because according to popular Christian myth, the devil cannot come to church. Have you heard that? Christians can't have demons. But let me ask you a question. Who are the ones being warned? Give the devil no place. Let me ask you this question. Let's make it practical so that you can figure this out for yourself. Do mass murderers sit and read the Bible. Probably not. That's why they do what they do. Pedophiles, well, some of them actually do like to go to church. But by the grace of God, they will hopefully get sorted out. But the type of people that we're talking about there, Satanists, a good Satanist doesn't read the Bible. He burns the Bible. Hello? Or they do other pathetic and useless and weird stuff with it. So the information in the Word of God pertains to who? Believers in God. Does that make sense to you? Now there's a whole bunch of scripture in the Bible speaking to you and speaking to me, warning us not to give the devil place. And what happens if we are disobedient and we start giving the devil place? Even though you profess to be a Christian, you will also pick up a bunch of problems. Does that mean God turns his back on you? No. You can't deal with the devil without God. God doesn't come into your life because you are perfect. He comes to bring about perfection. The Bible says we need to be daily transformed by the renewing of our mind into the image of Christ. Daily transformed. You don't become a Christian and everything in your life is instantly 100%. You become a Christian and you receive the potential inside of you, Jesus working in you and working through you to begin to change you. So we go to these meetings and I pray for people and people pop. And then there's like an instant buzz. Oh no, they can't understand this thing because this was not supposed to happen. Because apparently, you know, you go to certain churches and according to them, they are 100% perfect. But it's amazing how this works. Let me just explain something to you. If I go to a Baptist church and I tell them that I was at the Methodist church last week and I cast out 10 devils, everybody's like, we thought so. They're willing to believe that, but you better not tell them that another Baptist had a problem because that's, now you've ruined the friendship. You have to understand something. If you give the devil place, he's there. If you invite him to come, he will come. If you like to play with his things, you better be willing to play with him. Because it's his things that you are playing with. I'll give you an example. A couple of years ago, there's this family there, boy doesn't sleep. The boy, if I remember correctly, was about 10 or 11 years old. Somebody asked me to go and pray for this boy and I said, no, it's fine. Let the parents phone me. You know, when it comes to children, you don't just go and pray for somebody else's child because you will pick up big problems. You speak to the parents. You get permission. You ask if it's okay with them. If it's okay with them, you go, you pray for the child. Because if you go without their permission, spiritually, you're in a bad place. You understand? So I said, let the family phone me. And the mother phoned me and she spoke to me. She told me what the story was, that the child doesn't sleep and that they're definitely certain that there's funny things going on in the house, etc., etc. They feel this presence. Things tend to move around in the house and there's a lot of fear in the house. But the funny thing is, even though there's fear in the house, when the children go somewhere else, like when they go on holiday, there doesn't seem to be fear. It's almost like the fear is localized around the house. I said, you know what, I would love to pray for you, for your son, but I think your husband needs to be present as well. Now, the husband was very high up in one of the very fancy la-di-da churches in the area. And I don't think he really wanted to be there, but I was insistent. I said, I would like to have your husband there, please. So I go there that afternoon. And the mother is there, and the father is there, and the son is there. Now, when I go there, I'm not just going to go and lay my hands on the child and pray for the child, because we first want to try and figure out what's going on in this house, right? You know, if we haven't sorted the problem and we pray, tomorrow the problem is back. So we first have to find out what is the door that's open that allows this chocho to come into this house. And once we find what that door is, we close it, and then we can chase the chochos out, because then we know they're not going to come back. Now, that means asking some questions. That means doing a bit of counseling with the family. Now, this man also came from one of those backgrounds where he was taught that Christians can't have demonic problems. So, of course, when I got to his house and I began to talk about demons, he got very upset with me. He got very offended. How dare I come here and upset his household by talking about the devil and this and that and, you know, all sorts of stuff like that. Now, you know what? I've walked this road for a very long time. And I've had a lot of people yell at me. I've had a lot of people scream at me. A lot of people have been upset with me. But God still loves me. Amen. And I said to the man, listen, yeah, I don't want to cause a big fight, but I just need you to listen to the word of God. Just hold on. I need to just swap these batteries out. Well, we hope that that's going to be better. Anyway, I said to the guy, let's just look at what the Word of God says. I showed him a couple of things in the Word of God. I asked a bunch of questions. It turns out, if I remember correctly, this was a long time ago, so I might mix a couple of facts here and there, but the gist of the story is sound. Somewhere along the line, in the father's bloodline, there was spiritism. Okay? Because his mother... How many of you know the whole thing about medialum gebore? In English, the best that I've ever heard is to be born with a cord. It's when somebody just seems to instinctively know things. You know, it's like they know there's going to be an accident. They know there's going to be a death. They know there's going to be a problem somewhere. And it's like they can do nothing about it and they're filled with fear. Now, in the father's bloodline, his mother and his mother's mother seem to have that problem. Now, all that means is somebody in the family messed around with spiritism or fortune telling or communicating with the dead, something to that effect. And when you play around with these things, you open a door for this to come into your life. The problem is the same thing that comes to communicate with you also torments you while he's busy. And the devil is very good at tormenting people because he never sleeps. You see, you and I, we try and sleep now and then that thing doesn't sleep. It's always busy looking for opportunities. And if there is a spirit like that in the house, guess who it torments first? The child. Why? Because the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, whom you must resist standing firm in your faith. If the devil is prowling around like a roaring lion, he's being compared to a lion for a reason, because when lions hunt, they prey on weakness. Satan is exactly the same. And I want to talk to the men here. I want you to listen to me very carefully. If you mess around with nonsense in your house, the one that's going to suffer more is not you, but your children. Because when things come into your house, they will identify your child as weaker than you, and they will start messing with your child. So you better watch what you're doing in your house. Because certain things will call them, and when they come, they don't care about your child. They want to hurt. John 10:10, the thief came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He came to do those three things, so don't call him. In any case, I spoke to this man about these things. I showed him what the scripture says about it. And I said to him, we have to deal with the stuff. They agreed. We dealt with it. That spirit left that house that night. That night that boy slept through. The night after the boy slept through. The night after the boy slept through. And you know what the father said to me? He phoned me a couple of weeks after I went to pray there. And he said to me he was so blessed by the fact that I came there And I could give him answers from the word, because even though he believed a bunch of nonsense, he still believed in the validity of the word of God. The fact is, there were just a whole bunch of stuff he'd never seen that way, because nobody ever explained it to him, because the type of church that he attends doesn't see this as a problem. I spoke to three pastors the one day. I will not say what church they pastored under. All I want to say is that we discussed the 7 years that they studied to become a pastor. And I asked them this question. I said to them, in the 7 years that you studied to become a pastor, how much time was devoted to understanding how the devil works? All three of them looked at me like I was crazy. Not one day. Now there's your problem. Can I tell you why? Because the gospel of Jesus Christ makes no sense without a devil. We become children of God by being saved. The word salvation means you need to be saved. Now, if there's no devil, what do you be saved? What do you want to be saved from? People get upset. Oh, but Rian, you're not supposed to talk about the devil. Why not? Was Jesus afraid of the devil? No. Now you're going to say to me, yeah, but Rian, he didn't preach long sermons about the devil. I know, he didn't have to. Because wherever he went, he challenged him, confronted him, cast him out, and people learned that way. But today the church does nothing about these things. That's why people have to be taught. Today you can go to churches for 20 years in a row. They will not speak about the devil once. But the people sitting in the pews are full of anger, full of bitterness, full of hatred, full of resentment, full of rejection, full of sickness, full of infirmity. The spirit of death is cursing them from left to right, from front to back. There is poverty. There is insufficiency. There is lack. There is hopelessness. There is depression. There is despondency. There is dejection. The church is falling apart. Sometimes what people need is not just to hear about the love of God, but how to sort the problem. And I want to say to you tonight that God is well able to enable you to sort whatever problem is in your life. He does not just want to give you hope and love and peace and joy, but he also wants to empower you to be victorious in battle. And you know what? Sometimes the only way for you to be victorious in battle is to actually face your demons and battle them. A lot of people want peace. But sometimes the only way for you to have any semblance of peace in your life is to first declare war. If you have some devil robbing you of your peace, oh, but Rian, that's impossible. No, the thief came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Who do you think he wants to steal from? Does the Satanist out there have anything that the devil can steal from him? The devil belongs to him, or he belongs to the devil. So what should he steal from that person? But you, because you turned your back on the devil and became a child of God, there's something inside of you. There is something living inside of you that is dangerous for the devil. So he wants to come and steal from you. Christians often feel hopeless, often feel dejected, often feel despondent. Can I tell you why? Because something is putting pressure on you. And can I tell you why he's putting pressure on you? Because he doesn't want you to fulfill your destiny. He doesn't want you going out there and living a good, godly life. He doesn't want you out there testifying. He doesn't want you out there ministering the word, evangelizing. He doesn't want you to be the salt of the earth. Do you know what the salt of the earth means? We are the salt and the light of the earth. What does salt do to food? It adds flavor. You know, there are a lot of Christians out there, I say this very respectfully, but they got no salt in them. Because when I look at them, I'm thinking, ooh, I don't want to catch what you got. Because they look like death warmed up. They've got nothing to smile about. They're not excited about life. They got long faces. They complain about everything. Everything is an issue and everything is a problem. Listen to me carefully. Where's your salt gone? You better find some. Because if it was up to you, our churches would be very, very, very empty indeed. And that's not the way God wants us to live our life. And if you're living your life that way right now, let me tell you something. The devil is stealing from you because that's not the way God called you to live your life. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and to give you a future. I don't know about you, but that's good news. And that is God's heart for you, and that is God's heart for me. Somebody say amen. I was hoping to see a couple of smiles. Yerkes are a very cold audience, or is it just a cold night? But I'm not going to feel rejected because God loves me. So here's the thing. Inside of you is power. I don't care whether you believe it or not. The word of God says it's true. Inside of you is power. I want to read you a scripture. It comes from the book of 1 John chapter 3 verse 8. No. Let's first do this one. Colossians chapter 1 verse 12 to 13. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us over into the kingdom of the Son that he loves. We must give thanks to the Father because he has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints. Your inheritance is not depression. Your inheritance is not anxiety. Your inheritance is not fear. Your inheritance is not poverty. Your inheritance is not failure. Your inheritance is not worry or stress. Your inheritance is the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. What would you say is the inheritance of the saints? Power. Victory. Abundance. I would have thought that word would bring at least another smile. Listen to this, men. This is good stuff. Listen to this. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you. I want to stop at that word qualified. When somebody says, I am qualified, what are they talking about? What do they mean? It means they've paid their dues. They've gone through the process. They've written their exams. They've passed all the tests. And they are now qualified to either be a doctor or a surgeon or an engineer or a mechanic or whatever the case might be. But the fact is, the word qualified means that they have the recognition to say, I am this or that or that. Now, I want you to listen to me. Actually, I want you to look at your neighbor and say, the word of God says, you are qualified. Oh, did you hear what that says? Auntie, you are qualified. And you don't believe this, do you? Do you? What planet is your mind on right now? Come stand here. Come stand behind her. Do you believe that you are qualified? Take it. She's qualified. Even you are qualified. You don't believe me. Stand up. Do you believe it? Take it. He's qualified. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share. Listen to me carefully. What the Apostle Paul did, you can do. What the Apostle Peter did, you can do. Because his inheritance is your inheritance. And I want to say something to you. What Jesus did, you can do. Do you believe me? No, you don't. Come here. The young lady sitting over there looking very much in love with her husband. You come here, please. You're going to be cold for a while. Do you believe that you can do what Jesus did? Do you believe that you can do what Paul did and Peter did? How many of you believe that this young man, listen here, don't let his appearances deceive you. I mean, he might look a little bit freaky, but he's fearfully and wonderfully made. and therefore he is unique. We'll talk about the hairstyle later, don't worry. All right, here's the thing. The Word of God says that God has qualified you. You need to give thanks to God because he has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints of the kingdom of God. Let's talk about a couple of the things that the saints of the kingdom of God did. Jesus walked on water. Amen. Peter walked past people, and when his shadow fell on them, they were healed. Paul put his hand in the fire, and he did not get burned. He was bitten by a serpent, and he did not die. Jesus spoke one word, and demons had to leave. Moses put his staff on the water, and it parted. What am I trying to show you? The inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of God is to live a supernatural life. Is there anybody here that wants to live a supernatural life? Let's see if this boy can live a supernatural life. First and foremost, do you believe that Jesus is the Lord of Lords? Do you believe that he's the King of Kings? Do you believe that he's the Great I Am? I want you to say, thank you, Lord, for qualifying me tonight. Right. Stand, face him. You don't have to say a word. You don't have to do anything. The Spirit and the power of God that is inside of you knows exactly what to do. Just stretch out your hand towards her. And now? Does this normally happen to her when strangers point at her? Let me see your finger. The one that you pointed at her. Oh, it was the whole hand. It was all of it. Okay, so there wasn't one finger up the nose first or any. Okay, I'm just checking. What happened to her? Look at that smile on her face. Do you think it's bad? No, I don't think so either. Look at this. Look at this. Oh my goodness. Listen, yeah, did she smoke something before she came here? Did you pop a pilly key in her or something funny? I want you to listen to this. Okay, I want you to tell these people what's happening to you now.
I don't know how to describe this. It's like something just supernatural is just falling upon me.
Ooh, something supernatural was just falling upon her. Come stand behind this young man, please. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. God doesn't care what you look like. You might not like the way he looks. God actually likes him. Hello? Is that a double anointing? With a hairstyle like that? I'm not so sure. Move that way. Take it! Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us, listen to this, to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. We're talking about understanding curses, but tonight God hijacked my sermon because he wants me to share something special with you. Tonight the word that God dropped in my spirit was the word empowerment. That tonight God wants to empower people to have victory in their life. Now the scripture that I want to share with you tonight and the scripture that I want to look at is that scripture. God qualifies you to share in the inheritance of the saints of the kingdom of light. And when God qualifies you, he doesn't ask you, how much do you know of the Bible? Because I actually want to promise you, he doesn't know too much. Does he know too much? No, he doesn't. Does he know a lot? He knows even less than he... God doesn't care what your skin color is. He doesn't care how gray you are. He doesn't care how young you are. He doesn't care what background you come from, what school you attended, what university you went to. God doesn't care about anything of that. The fact of the matter is, when Jesus comes into your life, you are qualified. And you are qualified to share in an inheritance that has already been put aside for you. And the Bible tells us that that inheritance is in heavenly places. And you know why it's in heavenly places? Because the devil can't get there to steal it. My inheritance belongs to me and me only. Your inheritance belongs to you and you only. But the one thing that we have in common, the one thing that nobody can ever take from us, is the fact that God has called you to live a supernatural life. I don't know about you, but I refuse to live any other life. A lot of people don't like me because apparently weird things happen when I pray for people. Get over it. When you get to heaven, you're going to see a lot of weird stuff. You better get prepared for it down here. Amen. Come on, my friend. Imagine if you walked with Jesus for a day. Hello? You think the stuff you see here is weird? Imagine when he was there feeding the 5,000. Because I can promise you, he didn't just feed the 5,000. He prayed for a lot of the 5,000. And what do you think happened when he prayed for those people? Ooh. Why do you think the Pharisees had problems with him? Because the problem that the Pharisees had was they were carnal-minded and not spiritual-minded. They tried to understand everything with their mind instead of just accepting with their spirit. Carnal-minded people always have a problem in the kingdom of God. They don't understand things like faith. Faith does not make sense to a carnal-minded person. Believing in something as though it is, even though it isn't, you must be crazy. It's impossible. No, it's not. Because the Bible also says without faith, it is impossible to please God. And if you want to start pleasing God, you better get your mind out of the way. Because there's a lot of things that your mind will fight in the Word of God, if you allow it to. We have to have faith. Auntie, please come stand here for me. Giving thanks unto God, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the kingdom of light, of the saints in the kingdom of light. You, just go forward for me, please. We're supposed to live a supernatural life. When you are in a situation, God's not finished with you. Take some more. When you are in a situation that your mind can't solve, that your father can't bail you out of, that your training and equipping and education falls short of coping with, I have some good news for you. There is supernatural power with you at all times. Did Moses ever encounter a situation God could not equip him to deal with? No. Whether it was walking through the sea on dry ground, whether it was getting water to come from a rock, whether it was turning bitter water into sweet water, whether it was feeding a couple of million Israelites in the desert, there was no problem God could not enable him to deal with because he believed in a supernatural God. How did God appear to him the first time? Somebody help me. God appeared to him in the desert in a very supernatural way through a bush that burnt. And even though it was burning, the bush was not consumed by the fire. How supernatural is that? I mean, seeing a burning bush in the desert, that's already a little bit strange. But seeing a burning bush in the desert that doesn't actually burn, that's very strange. What was God preparing Moses for? Somebody say with me, a supernatural life. God is here tonight and he's offering you a supernatural life. Because he knows that you're going through trials and tribulations. He knows you're going through big problems. He knows that there's obstacles in your way and your mind says, oh, but this is impossible. Guess what? Your mind doesn't know what God can do. Because something inside of you is supernatural, and the supernatural part of you doesn't care about your problem. It's nothing. Stand in front of her. You live a supernatural life, don't you? You believe God can work through you? If you were, I know this is like a very big stretch because you're a female, you know, and you all think different to us, but if you were the Apostle Paul tonight, or you were the Apostle Peter tonight, and she had some problem, what do you think God would do? One word. Point your finger at her and say Jesus. That one word for you is one word. For God, it's the end of a problem. Amen. Somebody give the Lord a big hand, please. Amen. My message tonight is short and sweet. God is here to give supernatural life. God is here to empower. God is here to equip. God wants to do the following. Giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints of the kingdom of light, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us over into the kingdom of the Son that he loves. Part of the inheritance that comes for those who share the inheritance of the saints is that we get out of darkness and into light. So if darkness touches your life in some area, then God wants to remove you from the darkness and bring you into the light. I want to share with you something to help you understand how this works. You see this building that we're in? We're in an auditorium now. But there's not just one room in this church, this building. There are many rooms. There are at least 10 rooms here. If you look at the back there, there's a room there. That light is off. Even though the lights are on in this big room, the lights are off in that room. It's part of the same building, but certain parts are light and certain parts are dark. That's how people's lives are. There are a lot of areas in some people's lives that have been touched by the light, but that room that belongs to anger is still in the dark. The other room that belongs to jealousy is still in the dark. The other room that belongs to fear is still in the dark. Part of the inheritance that comes for the saints is that we can come into the light. If poverty is still stuck somewhere in your life, then it needs to be touched by the light, because poverty is darkness. And the Word of God says God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. The Word of God also says that when we come to Christ and Christ comes in us, we get a new inheritance. That new inheritance is we don't have to live in darkness anymore. God wants to bring us out of darkness and into light. There are many people that go to church every single Sunday, but they live under the dominion of darkness. Look at this. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. There are people out there that are under the dominion of darkness. That's not God's heart for them. That's not God's will for them. That's not the place God wants them to be. But that's where they are. But if you can get yourself to the place that you truly begin to receive the inheritance of the saints, you begin to move from darkness to light. There are people that have been saved for 20 years. They still don't prosper. There are people that have been saved for 30 years. They are still riddled with fear. There are people that have been saved for 10 years and they still can't control their temper. Is that the good news of the gospel? The good news of the gospel is you have a problem, God is the solution. But then you first have to hear the truth so the truth can set you free. It's no good somebody says to you, oh, you know Jesus, everything in your life is fine. You know it's not. You know that you've got problems in certain areas. And if you, number one, you must get to the point that you admit it. You know, a lot of Christians, they just, their biggest problem is pride. You ask them whether they have problems. No, no, I don't have problems. No, no, my life is actually quite perfect. They know it's not, but they can't admit that they got a problem. God can't help you until you can admit it. So first you have to come to the place that you admit that you got a problem. Then you have to submit yourself to God. The Bible says, submit yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. You can't get the devil to flee if you are submitted to the flesh or if you have submitted to the spirit of this world. You can only get the devil to flee if you are submitted to God. Submit yourselves therefore unto the mighty hand of God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. I end off by sharing with you this. The Lord gave me a word tonight that he wants to empower his people to victory. And the Lord will do that. The Lord will do that through this scripture. Give thanks to the Father who has qualified you. Look at your neighbor again and say, I'm qualified. To share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. Look at your neighbor and say, I can do what Moses did. I can do what Peter did. I can do what Paul did. I can do what Jesus did. I want to tell you one thing. Every devil in this place is rattling right now. I give the Lord a big hand. That's what I'm praying for tonight. I'm going to pray for you to be empowered. I'm going to pray for you to receive your inheritance, to share in the inheritance of the saints of the kingdom of light. I don't care what your problem is. Tonight God will give you the solution. I don't care how big your devil is. Tonight God will hand him to you on a silver platter. I don't care what your shortcoming is. Today God will give you the tool that's needed to get you out of the... Anyway, did somebody learn something tonight? Give the Lord a big hand, please.